Good morning and welcome to the DS Smith Q1 Trading Statement Call. My name is Rosie, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you'll be on listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If you need assistance at any time, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. I will now hand you over to Miles Roberts to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Miles Roberts, the CEO of DS Smith, and I'm joined here by Adrian Marsh, our CFO. Our trading statement released this morning relates to the period of trading since the 1st of May 2018. We continue to be excited by our prospects. Our focus on sustainable packaging in resilient and growing sectors, including FMCG and e-commerce, is consistently driving our market share gain. We are seeing good like-for-like volume growth in the year to date, with progress in all geographic regions. Recovery of input cost increases from earlier in the calendar year is in line with our expectations, with the consequent positive margin effect. Cash flows also remained a focus in the period as we maintain a disciplined approach to working capital and CapEx. Trading remains in line with our expectations. It is now a year since we acquired Interstate Resources in North America, and it continues to perform very strongly. Integration continues to go well, and we have added additional capacity and further enhanced our customer offering via the acquisition of Corrugated Container Corporation, which completed on the 1st of June. We're delighted with the customer reaction, with a number of our major customers seeking to and partnering with DS Smith for their packaging solutions, not only throughout Europe but now in the US as well. And turning to Europac, you'll recall that we are partway through the acquisition process. The required regulatory approval process is progressing as expected, and we anticipate completion in calendar Q4 2018, as previously indicated. So in summary, I'm pleased with our momentum in the year to date. Corrugated packaging continues to demonstrate excellent growth prospects driven by changing shopping habits, e-commerce, and the ever-increasing relevance of sustainability. And DS Smith is in a wonderful position as the market leader to capitalize on these opportunities, and the board looks forward to the future with confidence. Thank you. I'd now like to invite any questions, either for myself or Adrian. Thank you.
So if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star two. You will be advised when to ask your question. And the first question comes from the line of Barry Dixon from Davy. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen, and thanks for the update. A couple of questions from me, Miles, if you don't mind. Firstly, just in terms of the volume, and you're talking about decent, good like-for-like growth across the piece. You might just give us a bit more sort of colour around that, particularly, I suppose, looking at the underlying market, what you think the underlying market is growing by, and then how much you think e-commerce and that sort of whole move from plastics to paper is adding to the volume growth environment for you. Secondly, just in terms of raw material costs, we're hearing a lot about OCC pricing and the impact of Chinese tariffs, particularly on US imports of OCC. Maybe just your own thoughts around OCC costs in Europe. And then finally, on corrugated pricing, you've previously guided 8 to 10% increase in corrugated pricing. Are you still happy with that guidance, or do you think that there could be more from a pricing perspective that you can achieve from those levels? Thank you.
No, thank you, Barry. Yeah, volume continues to be very, very, very good. Historically, we've been doing around about 3% like for like. Last year, it moved up to 5%, and I expect us to be, you know, somewhere between the two of those. Hopefully, more towards the upper end of it. you know, we're only through the first quarter, but the demand is still very strong. You've talked about e-commerce in there. E-commerce overall for us, in terms of percentage of our sales, is in the sort of the 12%, something like that range. That's growing steadily at about 15% per annum. So you can see 15% of 12, that's going to give us, you know, like for like of well over 1%. On the sustainability, it's been difficult to understand exactly why people have chosen our product. Is it sustainability? Is it the service? Is it the innovation, et cetera, et cetera? But there's no doubt that it's a good tailwind. I think, you know, we're still at the early stage of it. There's a lot more that can be done here. It's not sort of the complete replacement of plastics, but it's that steady erosion of the plastics market share, taking plastic out wherever possible. What does it give us? It's really difficult to say. You've actually started asking customers exactly why, and let's just understand how well we're doing in this area. I wouldn't be surprised if it's probably, this is purely a guess, it could be another half of 1%, something like that, perhaps 0.75, but it is difficult to know, as there are a number of things, obviously, in our offer. But it's certainly a tailwind, and I have to say it shows absolutely no sign of abating at all. I think in some ways a number of customers have been surprised just how easy it is just to change to a much more sustainable solution. And once they've changed, a lot of these are quite sticky. I think got an excellent chance of really retaining this over the long term. Nice structural market growth there. When you come to OCC, I mean, this is a very fluid area. Absolutely right, Barry. You know, there have been tariffs put on between the US and China. What's going to happen? We expect these the very tight restrictions on imports into China to remain there. Interestingly, China isn't importing the amount of OCC that it actually has licenses for, and it's all around the quality. So we expect China to remain volumes of OCC into China to remain low. What does that mean for OCC pricing? Well, collection rates generally continue to improve. If I had to guess, and it is an extremely volatile area, I think we're going to see the next 6 months, I think OCC is going to remain very subdued. It's difficult to see why that would change in the absence of a change in China. But of course, China could change. I mean, they just introduced these new regulations. They could move back. So it remains a volatile area, but I think OCC is probably likely to stay low probably over the next 6 months. And that leads us to the other side of this. Obviously, there's been very strong demand for paper, both in the US and in Europe. The demand remains strong. Prices are stable, but obviously much higher than they have been. As I said previously, we're looking, depending on the exact region, 8 to 10%. Prices on paper generally have been pretty static now for some time. So we remain on that 8 to 10% level, and we are recovering absolutely in line with that. And it's rebuilding the margins from, I think, second half last year were 9.4, so full year 9.2. So it's having a positive effect on margins with that volume increase as well, and the operational leverage you'll get from that.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. Well done.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Kevin Fogarty from Numis Securities. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just a couple, I guess, just firstly on plastics. Appreciate there's nothing sort of conclusive you can sort of say on it, but I just wondered if you could sort of talk around sort of levels of interest and you know, a bit more detail on the progress you've made there. And just secondly, North America continues to perform very, very strongly. A couple of months ago, you sort of talked about sort of transcontinental deals and just customer reaction there. I just wondered if you could put a little bit more colour on that. at this point, so anything further to add there?
Well, look, with plastics, the we have started the whole review. There's, as you can imagine, there's quite a bit of work to do on the asset to fully review it and prepare it for what we want to do. That work has gone extremely well. There's been at the same time we've had a lot of inbound interest. It's a very attractive business. It's growing quite nicely. There are a number of other players out there who have smaller positions but really quite synergistic. So we remain really very optimistic about the attractiveness of this asset. I'd say the work is going absolutely as we expected, and to be honest with you, it's going well. It's going well. Yeah, North America. We are, as I said, the performance has been very strong. We are delighted with the reception that we've had from our customers. I'd say plus all of our new employees there as well. We've really been delighted with that. We have now signed up a number of customers in the US that we've really, where the relationship has been in Europe, looking for the same solutions, all the shelf-ready packaging, all of the performance-based packaging that for us has just been such a differentiator in Europe, and it's been very well received there. So we have signed up a number of them. We have, interestingly, with some larger customers working on and developing these framework agreements. And we really do like these. They just set the overall parameters about what we're both trying to achieve. It sets the, you know, our objectives together, how we're going to work, etc. And we've been working on these with some customers. We're very pleased with that. It's really driven some of that very strong volume growth we saw in the US last year. Obviously, we'll talk about North America at the heart at this half year. But it's all around the service, the innovation, the performance packaging, and we remain very optimistic about it. It's one of the reasons we bought the CCC, that Container Corporation business.
Yep.
Again, very well received. It's just these areas you want to go into. As you know, we're taking the lightweight paper from Europe across to the States. We're bringing paper back from the East Coast. It's working very well for us indeed.
Okay. All right. Very helpful. Thanks very much. Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Cole Hawthorne from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Morning, Miles. I was hoping you could call out some of the bright spots within Europe, which regions are doing particularly better from kind of volume growth perspective. And then also on the Europac acquisition, what are the main outstanding points that need to be done before the deal will complete? And then finally, with the big gap between OCC and Testliner at the moment, I just wanted to confirm that you're not seeing any pushback from FMCG customers, et cetera, on passing through the box price increases.
Mm, yeah. The in terms of the volume, across Europe, it is all of our regions are in good levels of growth. The areas that continue to perform, you know, well for us, you know, Eastern Europe continues to be, you know, a good, very good, strong performer. The more mature economies, places like the UK and France, are continuing to improve, but not at the rate of Eastern Europe. But, you know, some of the other markets that we've entered into, places like Portugal, have been strong. But I think, you know, the standout for us, you know, over a number of years continues to be Eastern Europe. People are, our big customers continue to expand there. We've seen a number of companies from us, you know, some of them are obviously moving production from the UK to Eastern Europe, you know, with all the political uncertainty in the UK, and we're benefiting from that quite strongly in that region. So I think that'll probably be the standout over the last sort of 6 months, really. It's been very good. Just on on Europac. We've had all of our regulatory approval. Sorry, we've had all of our approvals from our shareholders. We're working with the European Commission now on the antitrust clearance. Again, all of the work, the questions, etc., as we expected. Once we get through that, we have to go through this Spanish CNMV. It's basically the equivalent of sort of the UKLA, really, where they sort of oversee, administer takeovers. We have to go through their process, which is a little bit more undefined in terms of its timetable. I mean, is it 5 days, 10 days, 2 weeks, etc.? But everything's going as we expected. Very good dialogue with Europac, as obviously as far as we're allowed to. Quite pleased with the trading of Europac. It continues to go well. We've probably seen their last statement, their Q2, etc. That all seems to be progressing very nicely. So expect clearance at the end, towards the end of this calendar year. That's always been our view, and it remains our view today. There have been no surprises to date. Obviously, the big thing we are is just, as always, extremely grateful for the support that we've had from our shareholders. You probably saw the way the votes came out for the Class 1 and the take-up of rights. It was we're extremely grateful for that massive level of support that we've received. And OCC test line, it is low. I mean, you're right, you know, if you look at the margins in paper there, they've certainly increased. Look, you know, we have our deals with our big customers. A lot of it is indexation. Prices go up, they go down, the indices move, and all of that has gone as we expected. You know, clearly we're outside of those index deals. You know, all customers are always looking for the best deal. All of them will always be, negotiating as hard as they can where you're outside of these index deals. And we expect that. It's always been the case, and I think it always will be the case. But equally, we're very confident about the offer that we give, about the service, about the innovation, about our coverage, about our continued investment into our business. And on that basis, we've been able to recover exactly as we've expected. And as I said, you know, rebuild the margins. In the second half of last year, we were 9.4. I mean, we haven't often been better than that. So you can see we're certainly moving in the right direction.
Good. Thank you very much, Miles.
The next question comes from the line of Alex Meese from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Miles. Just one question on Interstate. Obviously, the growth has been very strong since you acquired the business, and you've commented as to the reasons for that. I'm just wondering where you are with capacity utilization and whether, notwithstanding the acquisition that you've done, whether there's some bottlenecks that you need to address either through organic capex or further M&A.
Yeah, I think I'll just answer this, Alex. It's probably easier. We talked about, Miles mentioned the corrugated containers giving us the additional capacity we needed in the short term. I think looking forward, we definitely got a requirement to maintain the organic growth. Inorganic growth always remains an option, and you know, we've always got an eye to that, but in as far as what's in our control, we're currently working up a new site, a greenfield site, which will come in to play sometime in the next 12 to 18 months, depending on when all that permitting takes place, and we've got the site in mind. So that comes out in CapEx, not this year, we'll be out in next year, and we'll talk about that probably at the half year and the full year, but nothing that changes where that, you know, our overall capital direction of travel is. It's a reallocation issue. But yeah, there's undoubtedly a need for some capacity. I mean, the growth has been very strong, the demand's been very strong. Yeah, it's a decent problem to have. And you know, the key for us now is where we locate it to maximise the impact. And the team's been working exceptionally hard on that, and has a plan for the first one, and potentially going forward at some point in time a second and a third one. It's just how we're looking at where we grow the business and where the demand will be. But it's a question of building out where we've got the strong demand: Southeast, Midwest. Very good business, very good level of interest, very good supply chain that we've got in place. So I don't know if that's what you were looking to hear, Alex. But in terms of where we are, corrugated containers was the first part. We've got we remain committed to the green build we described before. Likelihood next year, next financial year. And then going forward, you know, we'll review over time. And clearly, North America will be discussed at our Capital Markets Day too.
No, that's very clear. I suppose just to follow up, I wonder if you can just comment on the competitive response in North America. I mean, obviously, Interstate doesn't have a huge market share at this stage, but I'm sure the major players there are very aware of what you can do. So have you detected any competitive response to your entry?
Look, I mean, just generally, we have many competitors. I mean, obviously, we think we are absolutely head and shoulders above everybody. But we've chosen a region. We've chosen a part of the U.S. where the demographics, the economies are growing very strongly. It's a great market to be in. Its growth and margins are high. We have entered. We are there to enhance the knowledge and the use of corrugated packaging. We think this is a great product that customers need to use more in the US. So we're not out there doing me toos. We're not running around talking to our, you know, to these American competitors. You know, been there a long time. They're good companies. In the US, we're trying to offer something different. And as long as you do that, you're not just doing a me too and running around with just focusing on solely on pricing, then I think it creates it creates an environment that customers like, and obviously we like, and I think other people respect. So the response to date has always been, it's always competitive, it always is, but, you know, we're very pleased with the position that we're in and the reception that we're getting. And you can see that in our numbers that continue to move forwards. So it's a great market, we've had a great initial entry there. And as I say, we're really trying to further the development of corrugated packaging. There's a lot of opportunity in the US for us. And I have to say, probably the whole industry there. I think it's the performance-based packaging, the whole thing about e-commerce, the sustainability agenda. I think it's very attractive to be there.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypads now. Thank you. We have a question now from the line of Robert Chantry from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning, everyone. Just a question on the kind of the long-term paper strategy, really, because obviously you've got an integrated model. You were short about 1.4 million tonnes before Europack. That will bring some more paper production into the business. But given you've seen such very high growth rates, given the capacity issues talked about in North America as you continue to grow strongly there, I just wondered if you could outline on a 3-5 year view how you are thinking about dealing with that. Will that require more acquisitions, more greenfield? Will you go more upstream? I just wondered if you could talk about that. Thanks.
Look, as a company, we're absolutely committed to our short paper position. We think, without question, that's the right position for shareholders throughout the European market. We absolutely recognise that the Europack acquisition completes, subject to the regulatory side, that will bring on more paper. We're growing our packaging volumes strongly. That will start to increase the short position. As I said previously, we're also looking at our paper assets and just what is the just looking at having a review of some of our paper assets. There's going to be more capacity coming on, particularly in and around Germany over the next couple of years, and we just we're very sort of cognizant of that and this whole issue of where we put our capital. Looking forward, we've given CapEx guidance for the current year. We gave that at the time of the full year, and I think we said about £270 million. We're absolutely that's absolutely where we expect to finish up. We have announced that we're going to build a number of green fields. Originally said two in Europe. That's now come down with the Europac acquisition, but we'll still be going ahead with the other one. It's in a region where we're growing very strongly. And we've also announced some further investment in the US. But that's all in the guidance that we've given people going forward. So we're not expecting an explosion in CapEx at all. We've been investing in the company for many years, in our asset base. It's a very good asset base. And we think broadly we have enough capacity to carry on growing in the organically. However, we do think there are opportunities for us to grow through acquisition. The primary objective is to get Europac in, produce the synergies, hopefully really delight our shareholders in terms of the returns we get from that business. And then we'll have another look at the market. But there are still a lot of opportunities for DS Smith to grow in Europe and the US. But the first thing is get Europac in, and any additional capex etc. that they need is all in the guidance that we've given the given shareholders already.
Thank you.
As a further reminder, please press star one now if you do have any questions. Thank you. Okay, we have no further questions coming through, so I will hand the call back to Miles for any concluding remarks.
Well, look, as always, just thank you very much for your time to listen to us today. But in summary, we're pleased with momentum in the year to date. There's a lot of opportunity, and we look forward to the future with confidence. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.